can't believe everything's working technologically, and thanks to Chris for that. As usual, did everybody have a pretty good week?
Yay.
You're pretty good. We had a sad thing happen. A good friend of mine that I worked with died of COVID, a teacher. And it was horrible. Mm-hmm.
Was that teacher?
Yes.
Teacher. Oh, yeah.
And I asked that she, and I taught her daughter.
Oh, that was.
And I, you know, I asked that she keep it Blakely, a family, in your prayers. And things, you know, other things happen too that at this time it just seems like this whole thing is just like a pall over everything. Just makes everything just worse, if that's possible. But you know, I'd ask you to keep them in your prayers, okay? Because it's really, really, really hard. Her oldest daughter is in her first year of teaching. And they were kind of like Natalie and Frank and I are, that just like that, you know. And I just ask that you pray for them, the Blakely family. Her name is Stacy. All right, now, as always, I want to begin with prayer, short prayer today, so maybe we can get through this lesson. Father, we just praise you and glorify you and thank you for bringing us today to Mount Olive, where we can study your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to us and prepare us in a mighty way to meet the babe in Bethlehem. Prepare us also for the advent that is to come, because we don't know when that's going to happen, but we know that you are coming again, and that in faith, we believe, we know, we are sure that we will be going to heaven to live with you forever. These things are hard to believe, but we believe them in faith, and we praise you for that. We pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, we are on question 9. Now, does anybody need the study? I ran off a couple of extras. And maybe they could have another, you know, whoever. It's the Songs of Christmas to Mary song. The title is the Songs of Christmas to Mary song. Did you find it? Has everybody found their place now? Number 9?
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
Now, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke 1, 31 through 34. Last week we did an introductory work. Now we're going to get into the actual message that Gabriel brought to Mary. All right, Luke 1, 31 through 34. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Okay. Now, what do the angel's announcements say about Mary's child, who Mary's child was, and who he was to become? All right. First of all, Mary would become what? She would become pregnant, okay? Mary would give birth to a son. And the son's name would be Jesus. Oh, I answered the question, but like no one knew that answer. All right, let's read Matthew 1:21. Will somebody find that quickly? Why?
Save his people from their sin.
All right.
It's
31. 21. Anyway, what does the scripture say?
She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin.
Because that's the meaning of the word Jesus. Right? There's so much in a name. See, I am terrible. Is anybody else in here terrible with names? You know, I am. And that was, I have to have a seating chart with my children at school. And it would make me so upset when one of them would move, because, you know, I would have, and when I taught elementary school Spanish, I mean, I was seeing 300 or 400 kids a day sometimes. Now, when I taught high school, it would be anywhere from 125 to 150 a day. And you would learn them because, you know, it was easier. But there is so much in a name, and biblical names carry such meaning. He's going to save his people. What a beautiful name. Do you know whether that was a different kind of name, or was that a common name at that time? Do you know?
No, Joshua.
It was a common name.
Joshua is the same name.
Yes, and Joshua is the same name. And, you know, and you have differences because of the Greek and the Hebrew and all of that as well. But, right, he would save his people. All right, the son, this is D, the son would become great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Son of the Most High. All right, let's look at Genesis 14, 18 through 22.
I have it.
All right, you going to read it? I do.
Speaking of
Mike.
Mike, go ahead.
Don't worry about it.
Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram by God Most High, processor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything, and the king of Sodom said to Abraham, Give me the persons, but take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted my hand to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth.
All right. Gabriel is telling Mary that Jesus will be, what's he saying in that? He's God Most High. He's going to be what? God. Son of God. Okay. How do you think that he is God? Right. Because all three, you know, got the three, got Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're all God. Exactly, Jerry. All right, how do you think a young girl might accept the news that her child will be divine?
Surprise.
It's bad enough when you find out you're going to have one and you're just sitting there going, you know, you're no matter what, it's just, oh, I don't know, for me, it was just like overwhelming, you know. Oh, I'm really finally going to be a mom. You know, kind of doubt, you know. I wonder if I'll ever be a mom. I'm finally going to be a mom. And you just, your breath is taken away. Now you add on to that you've got an agent of God telling you your son's going to be divine. What do you think? Would you believe it?
They were looking for a Messiah.
They were looking for a Messiah. Which somebody was going to be that. That's one point. What else? And she's young. I really don't have an answer for this. I think that she, do you think she might have been afraid? If she were, yes, ma'am.
The angel told her when she appeared to her that she would have a son. So she believed the angel. And I'm sure she was surprised, but still she. If she believed in what they told her to begin with, because
Mary has a willing spirit, doesn't she? It's not like that there weren't other people. We can't, you know, we do not have the mind of God. We cannot say or question God's sovereign choice for Mary, to choose Mary. I'm sure there were other faithful, young virgin women, but God in his plan and in his all-knowing, I mean, we don't question that, right? It's a mystery, but Mary was chosen. She did have a willing spirit. So Maybe she, I'm sure she would have been better than standing and understanding this or accepting it. Yes.
I think too, because she was young, she just accepted it. Look at the other two that were told that they were going to have special babies, and they were like, I don't believe it. How can that be? But the young people, they just accept it.
That, well, yeah, because she was perfectly capable in the human sense of having a baby where Elizabeth, right, and Sarah, that they had more, they were carrying more baggage, weren't they, as you would say. All right, he will inherit the throne of his father David. Now, she just found out that he's divine, right? And now we have this. He will inherit the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Forever. In other words, he will be the long-anticipated king of the
Jews.
The Jewish,
Messiah.
Starts with M,
Messiah.
The son of David, who will reign over the kingdom of
Israel.
The kingdom of God, not just
the world,
the kingdom of God, right? Okay. That, can you imagine? Now, at this point, I don't know if I would be thinking, but if I were Mary, I'd be thinking, now, you just told me that he's going to be divine, but then you're talking about David. You can imagine that she's trying to figure all of that out in her head. Poor Mary, right? I mean, in a way, you're sitting there thinking, getting this all together. That's a powerful speech that, let alone the fact that the angel's talking to you, and you can see him. All right, let's go to 2 Samuel 7:16 and Daniel 7:13 and 14. All right, when somebody finds 2 Samuel, raise your hand. And when somebody finds Daniel, and is willing to raise. All right, you got 2 Samuel, what, this second? What about Daniel? 7:13 and 14. All right, go ahead and read, David.
Okay. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever.
Okay. And Daniel 7:13-14, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming from the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into the presence, into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Okay. Now let's look at this. Finally, Gabriel tells Mary that Jesus' kingdom will what?
Be everlasting forever.
Forever. Okay. It's not just an enduring dynasty, like we've had in many cultures, right, that went on and on and on. What he's saying is that Jesus' reign will endure forever. Okay? And it's personal. It's not one. It's not a dynasty. It's what? One person will reign forever. Now, as we've seen, that as with Zechariah, you know, when Gabriel came to him, we studied that first. Gabriel explained to Mary that Jesus would fulfill every prophecy about the coming Messiah. See, he's laying that out for her. This, 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 and this. And that's very important. That would help her. I would think that would help her. In verse 34 of Luke 1, Mary again expresses not doubt, but confusion. You know, we talked about Sarah, and we talked about Elizabeth, and Hannah's a different. She She was a little bit different, same situation, different reaction. But with the doubt for those two, right? And we talked about that they were older, that they wanted proof. Zach Ryan wanted proof, right? And the ladies, it was just hard for them to believe that this could be happening. But Mary, instead of doubting, she was just confused. And I can imagine why. Okay? Your son's going to be divine. You're not married. Okay? He's going to be the son of David, which means there's going to be some human lineage in there somehow. I mean, it's mind-boggling. But she, instead of doubting, she just expresses great confusion. How can this be, since I am a virgin? Mary's words in Greek don't use the word for virgin, but translated literally are, seeing I know not a man. Okay, and people have used that to twist, you know, the doctrine of the virgin birth around. But I can't really see the difference in one and the other. But they would use that. I've seen that used before. In a Bible class one time. All right, what does she mean? A, this couldn't happen because I'm not intimate with the man. Or B, how will God accomplish this since the normal means of pregnancy is the way? Which way do you think Mary's going, A or B?
B.
All right, thumbs up for A. None? Yes? That's good. Fine. All right. Thumbs up for me. Okay. Now, and when I wrote this question, I thought a long time, and I said, I started to put or both. You know what I mean? Or both?
She did both. She did thumbs up twice.
No, you did. You did both? Okay. And after I had gone through this lesson and got to the end, I landed on B. Okay. But I wouldn't argue both. I don't see how she couldn't be the first one. Go ahead.
I just feel like it's just a thought process. Like, when you're thinking about something, you go through several steps of, like, the thought process, and I feel like she went through those same steps.
Well, I'm sure she did. That is a very good point.
A would be an expression of doubt. No, this can't happen. Where B is an expression of how could this happen to a woman.
Right.
I mean, the difference there is between the doubting or the confusion.
Right. Yes, and that was what I finally landed on. Okay. But then again, some people might, that would be semantics, you know, more semantics. But to me, do you ever put yourself in the place of these people, like in the place of Zechariah, the place of me? I think that's the purpose. I think that's why, one of the reasons God gave us the word. And I kept thinking, I'm afraid I'd be over there on the Sarah side. I would hope not. But and then I think about Mary. Good for you, Mary. I'm glad that was the Holy Spirit having help her to do that, though, right? She's just questioning. I believe you, but it's just blowing my mind how this is going to happen, right?
And remember, the angel told Mary that Elizabeth was going to have a baby.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So that helped her a little bit, knowing somebody else.
A miracle.
Yeah.
Another miracle birth, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. And that's true. I hadn't thought about it. That's a good point. That would help her, too.
Yeah.
That would help. In fact, when I was studying this, I said, why are they making such a big deal out of the fact that he told her about Elizabeth? I even thought that when I was studying this. And there's my answer. Thank you, David. Look. All right. Either way, Gabriel is announcing, what he's announcing is a miracle. And Mary's confusion might simply be stated as, wow, that's amazing. How will it happen? Mary's question of how can it be is a question rooted in wonder and faith, not in doubt. Do you ever have questions rooted in wonder? Yeah. As we go through our journey with God through the Word, if you're going to wrangle with it, there's steps that you're going to have to take. Some people say we shouldn't question God, but Mary did. She asked how. Is it wrong to question God? Explain. Now talk to your partner for a minute, or just for a second. Is it wrong to question God? Explain. All right, now I'm going to start on this side of the room, okay, because we, you know, we finished the lesson in 2 weeks. We need to have just a certain number of people responding to questions. All right, so is it wrong to question God and explain? All right, does anybody on these three tables want to comment? Okay, raise your hand if you do. What about the last two? Anybody? All right.
To me, it's human nature to question God. I mean, it's like at our tabletop here, my best friend who never did anything wrong. I mean, he was just so good. He was a principal or assistant principal, athletic director, just a superhuman being. And he comes up with brain cancer and ends up dying. Mm-hmm. And to me, I question God saying, why did you take him away? All the mess I've done, I ought to be dead, you know? Mm-hmm. And yet they took him away. So yeah, I question God saying, you know, why'd you do that? You know, he's married, I'm not married, and you know, had kids, and you know, that's just human nature. You say, why do you do it?
And I absolutely, in my heart, believe that God is ready, welcome, and able to help you through that kind of thing. But you know, you got to have that underlying faith, because if you're in a situation like a horrible situation. Even as a little baby, I would talk to God. I didn't realize at that time that I might be. I would talk out loud and go outside and play and just talk to him, because I didn't understand something. So, and he always helped me through. Okay?
Yes. I think God lets us have questions like that, because that makes us go to the Bible. When I have questions like that, I go to the Bible to try to find an answer. And like he was talking, you know, you do question those things, but, you know, if I'm doing something, he gives me a chance to ask for forgiveness, you know, for what I'm doing. That's, and that person he was talking about was probably a good Christian, and you needed to ask.
Goodbye. All right, anybody else over here want to comment? Anybody?
Jane was comment.
You're good.
Yeah. All right. Charlie, you got something to say, right?
I actually do have something if you want me to say it.
Yeah,
for real.
Sure.
Well, you were talking about your friend, and my friend lost a baby, and I never understood why. And, you know, you just have to, why would God give her something that she asked for it, and then take it away?
Right.
But you just have to understand that God has a bigger plan, than we have, and that you just have to trust that out of every bad thing, something good is coming from it.
What does Romans tell us? For we know that in all things, not in good things, not in things that we like, not things that we wanted with our whole heart and soul, but that in all things, God would work for the good of those who love him. All things. And that's my, that's what I keep on my emails. That's my byline, you know, because I have to tell myself that quite a bit, or ask the Holy Spirit to tell me that quite a bit. Because when you look out, sometimes it can be very discouraging, can it? All right, questions. Here's what I came up with, and let's see if this kind of summarizes what we've been saying. Questions cause us to grow and learn, right? Questions stretch our minds and hearts and increase our understanding. Question and the exploration for their answers, which is what Marge was talking about, to contribute to our faith, even if the questions themselves may ultimately go unanswered. Okay. Mary's question arose from faith, not doubt. What would your response to the angel be? Faith or unbelief? And that's what we're faced with in the kinds of things that we brought up. And the tougher it is, the more we have to depend on faith that God is good. And did you hear that part about when you might never know the answer? But you, how many of you grow and struggle? I grow and struggle more than I do when I at least think I'm being prosperous. Yeah. Do you grow and struggle?
Yeah.
I like being prosperous, but like Charlie's up there shaking his head. Yes.
Well, I got something for y'all. I don't know how many of y'all knew me back in 2017, but in 2017 I got laid off right after I built the house. And I thought, oh man, I'm going bankrupt. This is really bad. But, you know, God gave me the opportunity to grow and develop in ways I wouldn't have if I would have kept that job. And it allowed me to go back to working at the same place that I got laid off from a few years later with more skills and stuff. And so you never know what God's doing. You know, even though it's bad, even though you might say, oh man, this is not great. I don't really like what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just trust it, because he's shaping you into the person that he wants you to be, whether you realize it or not.
Right. And what a blessing. We don't always have that. You can't always see that. There's a couple of things that have happened that I still, you know, still kind of trying to figure out how it's working for the good for me. But I believe that God did. But I believe in God's sovereignty. And when we are very fortunate in our faith journey, when God can let us look back and see how that came about. That's a great example. Thank you. All right. The angel responds to Mary's sincere question by elaborating a bit on the how. The angel explains delicately that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, not in a sexual way, but in the same way the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The same word is used of the Holy Spirit in both scriptures. The same words are used, okay? In how Hebrew works, those of you that have done some of the Bible studies with Pastor, you know how important what the source of the wording is, okay? Whether it's Hebrew or whether it's Greek or whether it's this or that.